And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one. That'd be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, a couple of quick texts here with regards to Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfend desiring to put in high-speed rail instead of widening I-65. Tyler from Huntsville texted in. He says, Liberal Mayor Brokenfin is right on one thing. More lanes does not ease traffic. It will continue to be as bad as long as people don't stay to the right unless they're passing. What needs to happen is current keep right laws need to be enforced. Yeah, I'm not even sure if we have a keep right law, now that you say that. If we do, I'm not even aware of it. But I do share your frustration with people who troll in the left lane. I mean, I get in the left lane if it's smoother. I get in the left lane if, you know, nobody else is around. But if somebody's wanting to pass, I'm looking for the first opportunity to get on over and let them pass. Anyway, thank you, Tyler. Appreciate it. Mac from Athens, he says, how you like that awesome shot by the fabulous, fantastic Megan to kick a brick in the world's The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team capped off a loser round. Megan Rapinoe, the activist soccer player, wearing blue hair this time. I think it was blue. Her play was so bad several times that there are some who are even speculating that she threw the game. I would like to think she wouldn't do that. But I do know this. I'm sick of the Women's National Soccer Team under her leadership disrespecting their own country constantly on the world stage, you know, not bothering to you know, acknowledge the national anthem, you know, to acting like just a bunch of just punks. But Megan Rapinoe is the one who leads that charge, and they lost big, and it was because of her botching several like amateurish kicks. It was really kind of weird. All right. Number one, triple dipper, Alabama, front and center, front and center. By the way, if you're not, is that a military thing? Maybe it is. Williams, front and center. Or you jump up there and get in the front because you are the center of attention for whatever reason at that moment. That's the way Alabama's been lately. I mean, just kick it off with just a lighthearted story here. AL.com reporting that as of a couple of days ago, Matthew McConaughey has wrapped his movie production in Alabama. I do love this, by the way, and I'm not one of those guys that goes out there and fanboys stuff. I don't find the celebrity and go, oh, I got to go track him down. But at the same time, I do like it. I think it's cool, especially when they're coming around to places that I know, and I love it when they act like real people and treat other real people like real people. So principal photography on the movie. What's the name of it? The Rivals of Amziah King. And I don't know what the movie's about. All I know is Matthew McConaughey and Kurt Russell both star in it. Anyway, they filmed it all over Alabama. And a company called Goldman Casting was using background actors and extras from Alabama citizens all over the area. They had truck drivers, nurses, jail guards, church attendees, elementary school pupils, all from Alabama in the movie, which is very cool. And then Matthew McConaughey himself, he kept showing up at local restaurants, Steakhouse in Pell City, going over to the Frosty Mug in Jasper. Went to Children's of Alabama to visit patients. I thought that was just a class act. Everybody talks about how he's just a good old Texas boy. And that, anyway, all I'm saying is this. It's his second time. He filmed a movie called Failure to Launch back in 2006-ish in Cherokee and Etowah counties. And I'm loving seeing that we're at the center of some things like that that are positive. Other stuff, though, that happened that got national news. I mean, like news. Like, pay attention, national news. So here's one. This past weekend, President Trump spoke, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. President Trump spoke Friday night at the Alabama Republican Party dinner. Biggest Republican Party dinner in the history of the state Republican Party, apparently. 2,700 people in attendance. That's a big dinner, man. I had tickets twice and I couldn't go, but the reality is that's a huge dinner. They raised more money at that dinner. I think $1.7 million, was raised in that one night. So kudos to John Wall and the rest of the leadership of the state Republican Party. President Trump was the headliner, which did not hurt the attendance at all. And a lot of things happen. But the next morning, here's where I'm getting to first. The next morning, the state Republican Party held its annual summer meeting. This is where they do the actual business of the party, passing the bylaws, you know, taking a look at future candidacies and resolutions about this, that, and the other, and, you know, electing leadership and yada, yada. Well, for a while there, it looked like it wasn't going to happen. But the state Republican Party this past weekend, they passed a new restriction on the receipt of teachers' union donations to certain campaigns. Now, some folks, and I'm one of them, believe they should have gone all the way and done everybody, legislative candidates especially. If you want to run for the state House or state Senate, stop taking money from the teachers' union because they're crowing about killing our agendas. They literally go out there and say, yep, we killed school choice this year, whoop, whoop. Or they, you know, we killed tax reform. And they're going to crow about it and then expect us to feel good about people who with an R by their name taking their money. Well, they decided to start at a smaller level. If you're going to run for a school board or a superintendent position on the Republican ticket, you cannot take money from the AEA. Not we advise you not to, not we wish you wouldn't. You cannot. You can be disqualified from running on the Republican ticket if you do that. So it got real dicey, y'all. I'm just telling you. By the way, I've been to, I can't tell you how many of these annual business meetings for the state party. And there are times when it's maddening because, you know, people who have never run for office are up there trying to tell you how it's going to be. And every once in a while they're just making speeches to hear themselves talk. But there's a lot of good stuff that happens. There really is. There's a lot of good stuff that sets the tone and builds the fabric of what we as a party need to be standing for. And this past weekend, at first, I mean, it was a dogfight. At first, the bylaws change came up. State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, I believe, is the bylaws chairman, and he brought up the resolution about not taking AEA contributions. There was an immediate amendment from somebody in the executive committee named Don Wallace from Hale County. He wanted it to apply to the legislature. That almost became a poison pill because it was like too much to bear at the moment. But then they decided to table the amendment and indefinitely postpone it. And then there came along a procedural maneuver where a guy named Chris Brown, who I know fairly well, Chris Brown from Jefferson County, he decided to table the whole thing. And he got it tabled at first. And then Sorrell brought it back up again later, and it passed big. Like, I don't know who began working the room or doing whatever was necessary. But the bottom line is this, y'all. This is huge. If you're going to run for our state school board, if you're going to run for superintendent's positions, if you want an R by your name, stop affiliating yourself with the organization that crows about taking money to kill the agendas that Republicans say we care about. Now, I got to tell you, it's a little dicey. Is it a First Amendment issue? Well, we'll see if the AEA wants to fight it. They're mad. They're mad that it happened. How dare you? We represent the members and we believe in, okay, you don't do a thing right for the state. Nothing. You have jimmied up more good law than any organization in the history of Alabama. That being said, it passed. And there were some who thought it wouldn't. And now what they're saying is, now that it's passed and we're going to see how it holds up, that the legislature is going to be next. Do you know that we have some Republicans who have taken upwards of $70,000 in the last couple of years from the teachers union at the same time we're trying to pass school choice? I mean, when I first got elected in 2010, we had a pretty much a partnership, not just a handshake, but a firm stance. We weren't taking money from the AEA. And some of my brethren who are still down there, I could look at the list and see people like Greg Reed and Clay Schofield and a few others are not taking money from the AEA, and I'm glad of it. But they remember the fight. But there's some down there that are loading up. You got a check for me? I'll take it. Well, never mind the fact that your own party says, don't. Stop. All right, we'll get back from this break. I'll come back in and I'll tell you. So Donald Trump, here's part of it, Alabama, front and center. Donald Trump, he comes to speak in Alabama, the first major speech to make after being indicted again, and he had something to say about widening I-65. One of the biggest applause points he got for the whole night. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man, making common sense a superpower. Hey, stay tuned, by the way, top of the hour, Jeff Poor is going to call in, give us his firsthand impressions of the Trump speech, as well as some of the machinations that took place at the GOP summer business meeting. That's kind of big doings, y'all, and it's making national news, I'll be honest. Real quick, look at the text strings. I can see Jeff from Indiana just said, he's on the road apparently. He says, well, I just passed the rocket going north. I'm happy to report no activity close to it, no machinery, no scaffolding. It's safe for now. Yeah, brother, but it's on the way down. They've announced officially it'll be down by end of October, they're saying. John C. from Madison says, when we moved to Texas in 1979, we got gas for $1.79, extremely expensive then. How much would that be in today's money? I don't know, brother, but I'll take $1.79 right now. That'd be mighty fine with me. That's John C. from Madison. Badger from Athens. He says, for 65 and 565, not sure of state routes. I guess he's talking about the widening. He's not talking about the high-speed rail, I don't think. High-speed rail, Boomer, how do you feel about it? Are you excited about that idea?
Nah. That's all I got. I mean, being overseas on the overseas where the countries and other places have high speed rails, that's cool. Alabama, not so much.
See it around here.
I don't see it around here, not at all. I see a nice wide I-65. That's what I see around here.
I got double wide I-65.
Yeah, come on. Let me see some more of that traffic going down I-65. Give me some more of those.
Are you one of those guys that drives in the left lane a lot?
Possibly.
Y'all could have seen the deer in the headlights. Like, he's trying to think, how do I answer this? How do I answer this?
I try not to.
There you go.
There you go. I'll try. I say that. I try not to.
When they flash the lights at you, you'll get over, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Or, you know.
I'm with you.
There it is.
All right. I do not judge. So Friday night, President Trump... So all the indictment stuff happened last week, right? And I've got my latest op-ed is out today. 1819's already published it. And I talk about the fact that, you know, what we're seeing right now is a classic tyrannical opportunity to persecute the other political opponent by just coming at him left and right with all these indictments. But right after the indictments, the very first speech that Trump gave was here at Alabama. Friday night, he spoke to a record-setting dinner for the Alabama Republican Party. I mentioned the numbers a while ago, 2,700 in attendance, $1.7 million raised. But at one point in the speech, he caught the audience off guard in a good way. You know, Trump's not afraid to just go ahead and go ad-lib. He can go off script in a heartbeat. But apparently, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who's been on the show most recently, even talking about his desire to see 65 widened. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth apparently had an opportunity to see Trump beforehand. I've got a copy of the article here from 1819 News. I also talked to Jeff Poor about it. I'm sure he'll cover it again later. But apparently, a comment was made. Hey, Mr. President, if you talk to him about widening 65, you'll probably get a lot of applause. He called his speechwriter over, had them jot that down and get it in the speech. Next thing you know, he announces, he says, one of the first things that I'll do to help the great people of Alabama is approve a six-lane I-65 from Huntsville to Mobile, Trump said. He said, I heard some of your great congressmen who I introduced. Every one of your congressmen introduced me. It's a great honor. And he goes on to just basically say they got a huge round of applause on the idea. So interesting that, national news. There's the president coming here to speak, who, by the way, made the comment, and I thought it was hilarious. In fact, didn't I think McQueen even mentioned this last week, that he said, I'm just one indictment away from winning the entire race.
He did.
every time that they indict him, his poll numbers go up. All right, last story, probably before we hit the top of the hour. So Secretary of Commerce for the state of Alabama is a guy named Greg Canfield. He's a good dude. I've known him for a bit. And Secretary Canfield, he's the guy that's in charge of bringing in new business, growing existing industry, and trying to find a way to attract folks to Alabama. So he spoke last week at the Economic Development Association of Alabama's summer conference. And he said this, he says, we don't want to win everything, but we want to win what we want to win. Meaning that what he's seeing is some states getting bogged down and trying to do so much that they can't get it all done right. He says, Alabama economic developers do have some enhanced tools. We had a game plan package of economic development incentives that were a key topic through the conference. And so I'm sure they're coming back with more, but here's the point. He says, Alabama is strong because you guys work together. And the teamwork, he says, has resulted in Alabama saw capital investment hit an all-time one-year high last year of $10.1 billion invested in industry in Alabama. And the state's $25 billion in exports was also a new record. That's awesome. I mean, that's just big doings right there. Canfield said the state doesn't just recruit companies here and leave them to fend for themselves with issues like workforce development. So I used to chair the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. I saw a lot of this stuff in my tenure in the Senate. And one of the things that I was always so impressed with is an organization which Canfield mentions called AIDT. AIDT is the Alabama Industrial Development Training Center, I believe it's called. AIDT, basically, it's an organization that if you're bringing, let's say you're bringing a factory here, and you need a workforce, and that workforce is going to require training on, I don't know, AutoCAD, let's say, or something to do with robotic automotive manufacturing. Well, AIDT can provide the training at no cost to the company if they're willing to come to Alabama. So it's one of those things that we're able to throw in there. It's a force multiplier in a big, big way. And the folks at AIDT, they always do amazing work. And he points out, too, by the way, Canfield does, that there's neighboring states that are doing everything they can to beat us. And it's competition, y'all. It's absolute competition. And he says that what we're going to have to do more of is developing our sites. If you want to build something, you got to have the place to build it. That's a huge deal. What happens is if they prep these sites in advance, purchase the land, get the economic impact studies done, get the environmental impact studies done, try to lay in the utilities in advance, almost a little bit of a if you build it, they will come thing. These sites wind up becoming part of the attraction. I mean, we have two of them in Alabama right now, one of them right here near where Boomer and I live. They're both 1,000 acres. Some of the only ones in the entire southeast United States that are 1,000 acres. The one in North Alabama has rail and interstate access. And this is a big deal. Mississippi, they put in $57 million for their site development. Virginia, $90 million. Kentucky, $100 million. Tennessee pledged $170 million to a mega site to try and draw a Ford plant. Because when you draw one, I mean, we're not talking about corporate welfare. We're talking about setting the stage to make them want to be here. And if you can do that, the exponential opportunity then becomes jobs, people working, quality of life going up. Those things fund new schools. I'm saying there's a way to do this and do it right. And I'm thinking right now, Alabama's got a formula that appears to be working. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Jeff Poor going to give us the dialed-in view of what happened this past weekend with Trump and the Republican Party. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I love it when Alabama, in a good way, is the local, the state, and the national. I mean, so basically this has been a week of news with Alabama at front and center, which is number one of the triple dipper, Alabama front and center. And not the least of which is the fact that you had the former President Trump was in town this past Friday speaking at the Alabama Republican Party's summer dinner, record-setting event, 2,700 people there, $1.7 million raised, and he had a number of comments to make that were interesting. And then we had a landmark day on Saturday when the Alabama Republican Party held its summer meeting, and as we discussed a little bit earlier, they passed some bylaws that change the lay of the land potentially for donations to candidates from the teachers union. Anyway, one guy who was there at both events, Jeff Poor, our friend from 1819 News. He's editor-in-chief of 1819 News. He's also the host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. Anyway, he's on the line right now. Jeff Rowe Poor, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, you got to see it all. And I, by the way, I do have to give you kudos because we were just mocking Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin's call for high-speed rail instead of widening 65, and you guys already have an article up about it.
Yeah, nothing like going back to the choo-choo train. This is a fight here in Mobile that like I fight at least on a weekly basis. They're trying to bring passenger rail back to Mobile, and people think they're going to get like high-speed rail or something. They're not.
No.
But we fight this fight all the time. Amtrak, I lived in D.C. for 8 years and was forced to use Amtrak for a lot of things. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't buy into it, guys.
It is not all it's cracked up to be. I rode the Metro quite a bit. That was just the Metro, though, in and around D.C. I didn't spend much time on Amtrak, but yeah, you know, when the government runs a railroad, hey, what do you know? All right, well, listen, let me ask you, though. You were at both events. Let's get your impressions. So Friday night, Trump was there. Crowd, well-receiving?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, they would have been well-receiving. I mean, they were that way with DeSantis. I don't know that you could take too much away from that, but a few things that really kind of caught my attention. Number one, I expected that to go 2 hours. I've seen Trump at least 30 times in person, gone to these rallies over the years. If you don't know, in 2016, I covered Donald Trump for Breitbart in the state of Florida. So I wouldn't play it like a super fan, like he was the Grateful Dead chasing him around the country or anything. But no, it was part of my job. And then there's been some other rallies, but they're typically pretty long, especially post-presidency. They've gotten very, very long. And I was surprised. Friday night, we wrapped that up in 45 minutes. So maybe there's something going on there. The campaign's like, hey, look, let's tighten this up some. And then the other thing I thought probably more importantly is he's really leaning into the social issues. Now, maybe not in a way on abortion, a lot of people would think. He does think that there ought to be exceptions, but he's not afraid to talk about it. And so much of 2022, I think, was just about a fear from Republicans of getting into Dobbs, of getting into any of that. But as this like kind of wokeism is permeating more and more society, something is telling them that he needs to address that. And, you know, it's not something that he had typically done in his 2016 run or his 2020 run.
Well, you know, so you and I talked a little bit over the weekend. I called you to stay out of the blue just to find out what your impressions were then. And we talked about this thing, the abortion thing. He's never been, like negative on the idea, but you're right. He's never – this has not been one of his focal issues. And I can't help but wonder, did he do the research on Alabama? Was he looking to see what do they respond to? And here we are a decidedly pro-life state. Was he just talking to the audience, or is this something that you think is going to be a part of a platform that you're going to see more and more of?
I at least think it's a strategy, because 2022 was this. Dobbs fired up the coveted suburban woman, the coveted suburban female, if you will. And there's something to that, because what it did, it got Planned Parenthood's political arm really engaged. I mean, they took a hit with the Dobbs case, but the backlash of it got a lot of fundraising for Planned Parenthood and all these other pro-abortion groups that are out there with a political arm. And I think, you know, you pump a bunch of money into that, they know where to target the right kind of voters. They hit all the right places. And I think the Republican strategy was just not talk about it. And I think they suffered in 22. I think that's why the Senate didn't go Republicans' way. And I think that's why the House margins are so thin as we speak right now. So what I think Trump was saying is like, look, you guys got to own this issue.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You guys got to start talking about this. You got to go on offense here and make Democrats look like the radical ones, the ones who would have abortion legal all the way up until birth, and in some cases, like Ralph Northam, have an afterbirth abortions, if that's such a thing. And you got to show that they're the crazy ones. It's not Republicans. They're not trying to take away women's rights. They're trying to do this out of this simple notion that is a life and it needs to be protected. So that's sort of like what he was telling you. Like you cannot run away from this.
Yeah,
you've got to own it, and you've got to make those guys look like the kooks.
No, I think and that's by the way, that's just good PR in the first place. If the topic's not going to go away, then grab the topic and make it your own. Get ahead of the narrative. Which Trump is notorious for that. He's and I say in a good way. He's notorious for grabbing the narrative and making it his own. And so, all right. Well, I'll tell you what though. During the speech, I mean, a number of applause points, lots of audience engagement. But there was one particular point where I-65 came up, and you got a little background on that. So give us the genesis of that whole situation.
So my understanding was, typically there's like when the president pulls up this motorcade, they had someone to greet the president when he got out and kind of give him a lay of the land or whatever. And in this case, it was Tommy Tuberville, our senior U.S. Senator, John Wall, the Republican Party chairman, and Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. And throughout that interaction, which went on for a little while, they go backstage or whatever, and they get their pictures made. And what I heard was Ainsworth said, hey, you want to get the crowd fired up? Here's what you do. And Ainsworth gave him the 65 spiel, and he motioned for one of his speechwriters to come over there, and they added it right there on the spot, and that is how 65, the whining 65, became part of Trump's speech on Friday night.
Okay, so this is interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, Governor Ivey was there, but she's not the one who greeted the president, which I find to be a bit odd. But then the next thing is Governor Ivey has not been a fan of the I-65 widening project. She's even mentioned Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth as posturing for headlines or something like that. And so Lieutenant Governor is there to meet the former president, and Lieutenant Governor gets this thing thrown in. But I heard that Ivey was in the room later when the president mentioned it. So what was her reaction? Do you know?
That I don't, but I do know this, that Ainsworth and Ivey were at the same table when that happened.
So, could you pass a
so I can't imagine no. I can't imagine how that went down, but I mean,
yeah.
now you got like the former president Trump, potentially the most popular Republican in America, certainly the most popular Republican if you just polled it in the state of Alabama, talking about I-65, which it's got to make people start asking. When Trump brings it up, I do think that people will start kind of asking, like, well, what's this all about exactly?
Yeah, well, yeah, kudos to Ainsworth for grabbing a situation and making something of it. And I'd have loved to have been there at the table when he looked over at the governor and said, could you pass a salt? And she said no. But, well, I tell you what. Hey, Jeff, tell you what. I want to talk to you about the Republican Party business meeting the next day. Can you hang on during the break?
Absolutely.
All right. We're on with Jeff Poor, editor-in-chief at 1819 News, and also the host of the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 in the mornings. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, we're just don't forget, by the way, bottom of the hour, 3:30 time frame, we come back from the break, and Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty in Madison County is going to be here to recap how their Saturday went, because that was the other part, or another part of Alabama being front and center in the news headlines over the weekend. Right now, we're going back to the phones with Jeff Poor. He's the host of the Jeff Poor Show down on FM Talk 106.5 in the Mobile area. Catch him every morning. He's also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. All right, so Jeff followed up the Trump dinner on Friday night, went to the business meeting for the state Republican Party on Saturday. Major doings and lots of... procedural hurdles to jump through, and they got that AEA bylaw passed. Tell us about that.
So there's lots of drama there, sort of. You've been to these meetings before.
Yeah. And lots.
You know how they could just drag out.
Yes.
You know, there's like 400 and something or whatever. I don't know how many executive committee members, but they're everywhere. And a lot of them want a chance to speak on everything. But anyway, so we get to the moment in time where they're going through new business, they're getting bylaws committee. And the chairman of that committee is our state auditor, Andrew Sorrell. And we get to this rule that he has proposed, which is essentially maybe not as strict as some people would like, but if you are running on a partisan ticket for school board or superintendent, which would be county school board, state school board, and in counties where they actually elect a superintendent, you qualify with the Republican Party. And the rule says you are no longer allowed to take money from the Alabama Education Association. I mean, it's not just like the current rule that's on the books that says there'll be a strong reprimand or condemnation if you do, and most of the lawmakers in Alabama kind of laugh at it. But no, it's an actual like a disqualification and no ballot access kind of thing. So, as you might imagine, that is going to have some opponents. There's going to be some people who are very, very against this. They don't want this symbolic gesture. They don't want this taking place anyway. They don't know what this might lead to. So during the debate, everybody's lined up. Just picture it. Just a room full of people, and you have like 5, 6, 7, 8 people on both sides ready to give their 2-3 minute speech about why this is a good thing or why this isn't, or propose some kind of addition, amendment, or whatever to it. And you get to a gentleman, Chris Brown. He is the Jefferson County Republican Party chairman and probably better known as a political consultant.
Right.
For a lot of people. He was against it because, I think obviously the consulting class doesn't want to cut off any potential revenue sources.
Do you think he was actually doing that as a part of the consultant class? I mean, that was his motivation, you think?
I think it very well could be, but I mean, he may not say that, but it seems pretty obvious. So he gets up there and he puts a motion to table it, that bylaw change. It gets seconded, it goes to vote, and 53-47, they table Sorrell's bylaw change proposal. And at that moment, you thought, well, it's over. You could just hear the
It wasn't over until it was over, though, in this case.
Right. Well, we get there. Don't get ahead of me here. you can just hear everybody's heart sinking and everybody's just devastated. And then you see some members of the legislature, some of my friends, they're glad. They're happy. They're headed for the exits, and they're headed home, and the room starts to kind of clear out a little bit. 15, 20 minutes go by, and the motion was just tabled. It wasn't postponed indefinitely. It's still on the table. And Sorrell rescues the motion and then has somebody second it. Then he has calls for a vote on it. This is all happening bang, bang. And someone seconds it. There you have it. It's up on the screen. And the darn thing passes like 67-23 or 33 or something.
This is a classic example, though, of if you know the rules, you can get something done. I mean, sometimes it's not even about the substance of your debate. It's about as much as how you know the rules and what you can procedurally do. And that's exactly what Sorrell did, apparently.
That's what he did. He got the rule. Then afterwards, a little dust up, mild dust up, I'll say, between Chris Brown and Sorrell. Brown did not like the way Sorrell had done that. A lot of people got upset about it, the way it was just done, bang, bang. And then there's some procedural questions about it, but it got done. And it got done by a big margin. It wasn't like the first vote. So, I mean, you say what you want. It is what it is, and it's done now.
Well, and then so the teeth in this are no ballot access. If they find that you take money after you're elected, then what? You can't run the next time around? Is that the way it works?
That I don't know, but I do wonder if there are some workarounds here. Look, I think the most important thing about this, though, they're going to come at the legislature.
Yeah.
I mean, not next go around, but soon, and they're going to come with a similar rule, and that's where the real fight is. That shows me when they got this done that's where the momentum was.
Well, hey, with less than a minute to go, is there any indication that the AEA intends to challenge this in court as in some way infringing upon their First Amendment rights?
Not that I don't know. Now, keep in mind that IHOP is a private organization. They're not a government entity. But
sure.
Nonetheless.
But they control ballot access, so that's a campaign finance
fair.
Law thing.
That's a fair argument. I talking to them, I tried to get them to comment on it Saturday, and they didn't really have anything for me, so I don't know.
Oh, well, all right, there you were. Both of the two of the biggest stories we had over the weekend, Alabama front and center. Jeff Poor was there. And hey, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, Jeff Poor Show, and Editor-in-Chief, 1819 News. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, thank you, man. All right, and by the way, that good on Andrew Sorrell. And Andrew Sorrell has long been known as one of the most conservative and unafraid members of the legislature, who is now the state auditor, who is very involved in the party in terms of its direction, setting leadership tone. And that was a classic example of, here's what I think is the right thing to do. Oh, you made the wrong motion. Let me take advantage of that and bring that bill back up and get it passed after everybody who thought they were going to vote no walked out of the room. That's a classic. All right, listen, y'all stay tuned, because one of the other major stories of the Alabama front and center happened Saturday with actor Kirk Cameron and Riley Gaines with Moms for Liberty in Madison, Alabama. We'll talk to Emily Jones right after this. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That's this one. That's Alabama. And I'm talking about this show. We go way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, we're finishing up Alabama front and center. We had major news that just seemed to be like Alabama, in good ways, was constantly in the headlines over the last few days. Trump was here giving a major speech on Friday night. The Alabama Republican Party fighting back against the teachers union on Saturday morning. Also happening Saturday morning, though, because we covered it at great length over the last few days of the week, was the fact that Moms for Liberty, the Madison County chapter, was hosting actor Kirk Cameron, who came on the show last week, swimmer Riley Gaines, and a number of others, and hundreds of people turned out. I mean, they rocked it on Saturday. Well, you know what? Why let me just tell you, why don't we have Emily Jones come on right now? Emily Jones is the chair for Moms for Liberty, Madison County, and she's on with us again right now. Emily Jones, how you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. So are you really good? Have you caught your rest back up yet?
I've not caught up yet. Today finally exhaustion hit, but still on a high from this weekend and been jamming out to my music today and just oh my gosh! All praise to God for making this past week happen. It has been amazing.
That is so good. I mean, first of all, I'd go ahead and just recap the numbers, and if you got anybody you want to thank, just jump on it. But and then tell us your personal views on how things went.
Yeah. So we had 225 in the library. You know, that was the capacity issue or the capacity we had there. We filled that up pretty quick. And then over 300 people
wow.
at the Rock Church over there. So all in all, we had over 500. Somebody said it was probably a little bit higher than that. But when you started out with a goal of 30 people for a one-hour story event and you have over 500 for a three-hour thing, pretty good day.
And you personally were on Fox News, weren't you?
Yes. First thing that morning, I was.
Well, I mean, does it get kind of surreal that all this was happening?
That part's not fully sunk in yet. Brave Books did like this documentary thing in the background, or they're working on it. So I was on Fox News. There's a guy there with a camera doing a documentary thing, literally taking care of my son, who decided in the middle of it all he needed a popsicle for breakfast. So I'm on Fox News dealing with that. There's a total stranger in my house parenting my child off to the side. So that was one of those moments of, what world have I landed in? Because this is not normal.
Well, you are truly a mom for liberty. So there you go.
That's true.
Hey, so the crowd was huge. Kirk Cameron, Riley Gaines, they went to both locations, if I understand. So everybody got to see them on the celebrity end of things.
Yep.
And talk about the reception of the crowd and the kind of things you heard from the crowd. And what I really want to know, too, is how did the library staff treat you once you got going?
So I got there a little bit before 9 on Saturday. My plan was to get there around 8:30, and obviously things got delayed when you're dealing with Fox News and everything else. But got there a little bit before 9. On my way over, I had two or three of our people calling, texting, like, where are you? You need to be here. So got there, and it was a very active parking lot, to say the least. They had barricades up for protesters to stay in their area. There was a line at the front door of what had to have been almost 100 people already. And then just lots of traffic in the parking lot, cops walking around, bomb sniffing dogs. Like, talk about surreal. For a children's story hour, we've got bomb sniffing dogs outside, which makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But got there, and everybody was just super energetic. They were polite. They were pleasant. I mean, protesters mixed in there, which were obvious to see. But no one was out of hand. You know, you could have opposing views, but you just kind of walked past each other and did your business, and it wasn't a big deal. Library staff's been excellent. Walked in to kind of walk through the setup that they had, and everyone was just really nice. Cindy Hewitt with the library personally walked through and explained what they had going on, and just very pleasant, very respectful. Police were there. Fire chief was there saying, you know, shook hands, thanked us for being there, and just had a great welcome. So it was all positive.
Well, that, I mean, and I, I'm so glad to hear it. And the Rock Church, I know also, I mean, I know folks that go there, and that church, I'm sure, was also extremely welcoming.
And, oh, yes.
Well, so the protesters, you mentioned that. So, I mean, I've got one story that talks about how the police made sure they kept the protesters at bay, but was there any ugly moment? Was it okay? I mean, you said you walked past them and didn't have any trouble. Did anybody have any trouble?
We had one little incident. There was a huge line to get in, and our people were able to, you know, quickly assess that most of the people in line were protesters. So, you know, if we did everybody as a first come, first serve, you're going to have like 20 kids at a children's book reading. So I called our legal team just to make sure I was clear and said, you know, can I prioritize who we let in the room? And they said, absolutely, your event. You get to make those determinations. So we separated the line into two lines and did one. You know, if you have a child with you, scoot to this line. If you don't, you're on the other one. And we prioritized, obviously, the line that had the kids and started there letting people in and counting one by one as they went through. And there were a couple of people in line that didn't have kids. And we quickly said, you know, you're at the back of the line. If you want in, you can get in. But it's children first. We're going to make sure that they get to participate in the event.
Good for you. And yeah.
As you can imagine, that did not go over very well. So there was one particular woman that really did not appreciate me making that decision. And she wasn't physical, but she was in my face questioning exactly why I did that, questioning where it was on the Eventbrite ticket that they had that, you know, said they were doing that. So I just, you know, politely said, I don't have to tell you every detail of our plans for today. Your ticket is as a reservation. It's not a ticket that guarantees you entry. So if you want to be a part of it, then you can wait at the end of the line or you can go to the other location. But here at the library, it's children first with their parents. And after that, we'll fill the space with whoever else is left. So it got a little confrontational, but we got through it.
No, I think that's right. That was the right call because the event was truly about kids and about faith, family, and freedom, you know, in books that are designed for kids. So the kids themselves, what were your impressions about the kids being in the room and how did they do?
The kids were phenomenal. I mean, they had been outside in the heat, which I think the heat index was 100 on Saturday.
It was awful.
It was awful. So, I mean, they'd been standing around for a while. They were hot. They were in this cramped little room. And Kirk Cameron and team were 30 minutes late. So we had to improvise and sing lots of songs and read extra books. But they were great. I mean, as good as a kid can be in those circumstances, they were phenomenal. They participated the whole time and they laughed and they sang. And, you know, the little bitties got up and ran around. And they're in a room full of parents, mostly moms. So we get it. We just all kind of did the it takes a village approach and try to entertain each other, and moms would come up and say, hey, here's an idea for a song, so we would do that one. But it was, I mean, the kids were great and the parents were great, especially in that room when we were just sitting and waiting or standing and waiting. It was good though. The kids seemed to really enjoy it. When Kirk and them got there, they all just went nuts screaming, and they really liked Riley. I think she's a little bit more relatable because she's kind of closer to their age, but there were several young girls that were just super stoked that they got to meet. It's Riley Gaines. So it was cool to watch that.
Well, you know, overall, the cool factor was everywhere. Let me ask you this, in retrospect and in looking forward, what do you want to come out of this? I mean, what did you see come out of it? What do you want to see come out of it? What's next?
What I've seen come out of it was awakening.
Yeah.
Awakening that we've got to stand firm in who we are as Christians, and we cannot allow the society we're in to cancel us. It's an awakening of our elected officials and where they stand on a lot of different things. Our community is now awakened to that. We had a fun little conversation in our Facebook group the other day of just frustration over the whole thing. So, of course, me poking the bear said, well, who's ready to run for office? Because we've got some seats we need to take. And I had several people raise their hand and say, put me in, coach. So awesome. We're working that fun now.
that is so good. So do you have any other events in the works?
We got a couple of things going on. We're doing our first fundraiser this fall. It's going to be a clay shoot out in Athens. So definitely check that out because we've got to pivot to that. We've lost a little momentum because we've been distracted for the past week. So we got it. We're going to get that going. And then I've talked to Riley about coming back. Since she didn't get to really speak here in Huntsville, I've asked her if she'd be willing to come back. Either it's just a quick little trip and do one event or maybe come solo, do a couple of things over a couple of days. I would love to get her to speak to high school kids and just explain to them her situation and why it's so important that they stand strong on who they are. No, so we'll see. I don't know what her schedule allows, but hoping I can make that happen.
No, I think that's huge. And I, you don't probably know my personal story, but my first 10 years out of college, my wife and I, we were committed full-time youth ministry and youth counseling, and that was part of our passion in life. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. If you can empower these high school kids right before they go off to college or the world, to recognize what it means to say yes and no at the right times for the right reasons, you can change lives. And yep. So, well, Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty, I can't tell you how proud we are to have you on the show several times now, and just love the fact that you got all this done. Love the fact that there are people who are empowered by it, and we look forward to working with you in the future, all right?
Yep, sounds good. Thank you so much for all of your support and airtime. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Emily. Man, I'm sending her a Right Side Ruffian t-shirt, Boomer. That's all there is to it. I'm just saying. If there's a Right Side Ruffian out there, it's Emily Jones. So, all right, folks, listen, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're heading to a break right now, but that's the way it's supposed to be. That is absolutely what we talk about on the show all the time. That there's got to be folks who are just willing to say, I'll do that, and just get her done. And, man, did they just stick it out. I mean, that is like the epitome of everything in the world was thrown at them, and they just hung in there and had an amazing event. And Emily Jones from Madison County, Alabama, was on national news Saturday morning. How about that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Alabama, front and center. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, I got a caller on the line held on during the break. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Doing very well. And Lisa and I went out there. She really wanted to go see Kirk and Riley.
Yeah.
And we went out there, couldn't get into the library because it's for the kids.
Right.
First.
Right.
So everybody funneled the kids and everything in. Then we went to the Rock, and we got to see them there. And they were excellent, and I appreciate everybody putting that on. Now, over at the original, I thought it was very interesting that the Madison police had put up a big sign with blinking saying First Amendment free speech area. And that's where the protesters were.
Wow. First Amendment free speech area. Okay,
yeah,
but I'm hearing there were like 100 protesters there. Were they noisy, angry? What was your view?
No. They're just out there to be shown. They showed some signs for stuff, but no, not at all.
Well, I mean, that's their right too, I guess, as long as they're not interfering or getting in the way or causing a disruption. But. Well, good, man. I'm glad y'all got out there. So did you have a chance to hang out with the crowd any and catch any feedback of people talking?
Not a little bit, but more at the more at the Rock and people talking. I wore my Right Side shirt.
Ah.
Maybe it scares some people off. But in any case. Back over at the Rock, I thought one of the funniest things when Riley and Kirk got there, Kurt went up to the stand first, and Riley comes out, and they had maybe it's planned, maybe not. She said, "Oh, great, another guy taking the podium in front of me."
That almost feels canned, but you know what? Though it's still pretty classic.
But still, it was great. Well, in any case, I'll let y'all be. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Brian. There. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you wearing our shirt out there too. That's good. You know, and I'll tell you, Riley Gaines. I hate that we didn't get her on the show. We had tried to. The scheduling wouldn't allow. But she was on Dale Jackson's show. I've got a piece here that our buddy Yaffe wrote for Yellowhammer about her interview on Dale's show this past Friday, I believe. And she said, "It's just crazy," she said. "It's a true testament to where we are as a society. People looking for ways to say no, looking for ways to hinder the underlying messages of virtue really being spread to children. And you have to ask yourself," she says, "why did they so desperately not want children to hear the message of the gospel and the message of good virtue?" And she said, basically, this is so key, y'all. This is like lean in on this one. She goes, "You don't think it happens here. Being in Tennessee, being in Alabama or in Texas or in Florida, I think we tend to think we're safe from a lot of the cultural issues that seem to be plaguing America, but we're not. And I think we were reminded of that." She is absolutely right. There is no place in the nation where you can just rest on your laurels because there's nothing to worry about. I got one more caller I'll take before the break here. Is that Amy from Rainbow City? Absolutely. Amy, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. I saw your social media. You were there too, huh?
I got there at 8 a.m. I was so excited. I felt like I was going to a rock concert. When I got there, a man was there before me, and he had driven from Michigan with a 10-foot cross in the back of his truck.
No kidding.
So people were standing there taking pictures by the cross. He was sharing his testimony. We were able for the next 2 hours to pass out waters to people, protesters, share our faith. I mean, it was so God ordained, and it was a beautiful event. And I can't thank Moms for Liberty and Emily Jones enough for the work they did.
Wow, isn't that something? I mean, that's absolutely exactly what we need to be doing too, is folks just getting active and getting involved, don't you think?
Yes. And I will say, I had my Right Side Radio shirt on.
Yeah.
People were walking up, hugging me like I was a long-lost family member when they saw my shirt. So
outstanding. Well, we appreciate you representing. And I just really appreciate the fact you did that. But I also so appreciate you calling in and giving us the firsthand view. Any other thoughts real quick before we leave?
Well, I have to give a shout-out to Jared Hudson. While they were waiting for Kirk Cameron to get there, he had the kids doing push-ups, and he also gave a very encouraging testimony. So I have to give a shout-out to him, too.
Outstanding. Well, he's a good one. He's been on the show several times, I'm sure you know.
Yes.
And he's also doing a lot to work on the idea of rescuing kids and human trafficking. So,
yes.
Love that guy. Amy, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in, and thanks for being a Right Side Ruffian.
All right. Bye.
All right. See you. Well, listen, I'm not even going to try and cover the rest of my material. I got a little bit more. We were front and center, y'all. Alabama was front and center. You had major speeches being delivered by the former president talking about things that are relating to our state, but also on the national level. You had major meetings the next morning at the state Republican Party to curtail the work of the teachers' unions to try and constantly get in the way of the conservative agenda. And you had the major event, I say major because that's what it was. It made national headlines, probably international headlines, right there in Madison, Moms for Liberty. And listen, keep in mind, Moms for Liberty is a national organization now. It started with two ladies down in Florida who got mad when their school board would not pay attention. And they saw wokeism being put in their kids' schools. And they thought, no, not on our watch. And two moms got busy. And they are now in the majority of the states with multiple chapters. And they helped coordinate 260 public libraries nationwide this past Saturday for a faith, family, and freedom reading event. Moms for Liberty is a classic example of what we can do if we just get up off the couch. All right, folks, y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back with that pesky First Amendment. Y'all stay tuned. Hey, all you right